Would you open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel verse 1? 1 Samuel verse 1. We're going to read about Hannah and the birth of Samuel. And what an important lesson this is. For we all can relate to what Hannah was going through right before God answered her prayer and gave her the baby Samuel. In verse 1 we read, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children." Verse 3. "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice under the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb." Verse 6. "And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as she did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look unto the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful that you make yourself readily available to hear us when we call out to you, no matter if it's a heartfelt, broken, contrite, urgent matter, or if it's a praise report that we want to give you thanks. You're eager to hear. You make yourself available for us, and we're so grateful, God. You are Abba Father, our Daddy. You care about us, as a good dad cares for their children. We come before you right now, and we ask that you apply the truths and the principles that we've learned in the account of Hannah and the birth of Samuel into our individual lives, that you anoint your word, write it on the tablets of our heart, that we might bring glory back to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So here we find Hannah in dire straits. We find Hannah in a very peculiar situation. She's married to Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives, one named Peninnah, and then there's Hannah. One who gave Elkanah children, and Hannah who couldn't conceive. One, Peninnah, who was very cruel, mean. That doesn't even begin to touch the surface. In fact, she was described as an adversary. She provoked her sore, verse 6, to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. She harassed her. She provoked her. She shamed her. She made Hannah feel horrible about herself. Have you ever felt horrible about yourself? About something you couldn't control? Maybe you didn't measure up? I know there are many people, young people in particular, that are trying to come into their own age. Their bodies may not be fully developed. They may not be measuring up to what's on the cover of Cosmo. All sorts of eating disorders, self-loathing comes into play. See, the enemy is our adversary. Make no mistake about it. The enemy, the devil, was using Peninnah to hurt Hannah, to provoke her sore. You see, we know our sore is our area of weakness. When you exasperate that area of weakness, you gain leverage over the person. Oftentimes, that's what a bully does. They pick out the most obvious weakness, they focus in on it, and they get others to ridicule it. And this is what Peninnah did to Hannah. What's interesting about this story, this account, is what takes place, what Hannah's response was to this onslaught of abuse. Did Hannah take it? Did Hannah defend herself? Did Hannah fight back? Did Hannah build an alliance with someone else? Hannah ran to the Lord. Hannah was human. She cried. She couldn't eat. She couldn't drink. She couldn't celebrate what her husband gave to her, even though her husband loved her and gave her an extra portion, even more than Peninnah and her children. Her husband asked her, "Am I not better than 10 sons? Has anyone ever tried to understand you when you feel horrible about yourself?" They come alongside, they're well-intentioned, they want to say, "Hey, it's not that bad." Oh, yes, it is. You see, nobody can bring peace to you except the Prince of Peace. Nobody can fill the void in your heart except God. Hannah had the right inclination. You see, Hannah ran to God. And that's what you and I need to do in our time of despair. Faith. Paul describes our faith as a shield. It extinguishes the enemy's fiery darts. What are the fiery darts? Provocations. Lies. Accusations from our adversary. Extinguishing them with the shield of faith. Faith in God. Faith for a deliverer. Faith that He is our refuge. The heartfelt prayer of a child of God who is being oppressed, hurt, and heartbroken is a powerful prayer, friends. You see, it is a distress call from our great need to His throne room. The prayer is a call to action. The prayer takes a life of its own, and it flies into the lap of God Almighty. It's like when you have your computer on and the old AOL, you've got mail, comes up. Whoa, it stops it. Everything calls your attention to it. You look over and you open it to read the mail. Now multiply that times infinity, and here you have the God of the universe sitting on the throne room who is intimately and intricately interested in our lives, and His child calls out for help with tears, brokenness. He answers the distress call. He's not startled. He's not caught off guard. But His amazing goodness responds every time. We must remember, despite the mess we might find ourselves in, we never, ever should doubt His goodness. We don't need to ask, does God care? Yes, He cares. We don't need to ask, can God hear me? Yes, He can hear us. God is good all the time and full of compassion and mercy. Hannah had an understanding that she couldn't have children, despite the fact that she wanted some. She had an understanding that because she couldn't have children, that somehow she was inadequate compared to Peninnah. What did she do with that inadequacy? What did she do with that understanding of her great need? She went to God. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, verse 10, and wept sore. She prayed earnestly, friends. When we call out to Him in our great time of despair, it communicates a couple important truths to both Him and ourselves. First, it communicates that we're desperate and we can't remedy the situation in our own strength or ingenuity. There's nothing we can do about it. Hannah couldn't fix her closed womb. She couldn't stop Peninnah from being abusive to her. What are you going through right now that you have no control over? The first step is to realize you have no control over it. It's important. You see, it is the humble that God lifts up. It is the broken who will see God completely. If you think there's more that you can do, if you think you have more to give in your own strength or in your own power, you're not ready for Him. You see, Hannah stopped everything and ran to God. Everything. Fasting is very powerful, friend. we can talk about that another time. But here's an instance where nothing was more important, nothing, than her hearing from her father. Not food, not drink, nothing. We're communicating a couple important truths to both him and ourselves. The first, we're desperate. We recognize the limitations that we have in our own power. We're relying on God. Secondly, we're communicating that we trust him implicitly. And we know that even though we're not able, he is 100% able to solve, to meet, to supply any and all our needs. People are quick to say that they trust God, but when push comes to shove, let's be honest. Do we really trust God? Or are we trusting our own ingenuity? There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end is death. Putting our trust in God is a beautiful process and necessary for a true believer to receive the amazing breakthrough of grace. You see, every issue or trial that reminds us of our own limitations and weaknesses is an amazing opportunity to grow in our faith in Christ. Many, unfortunately, find themselves in a situation like Hannah found herself. Depressed, rejected, in dire straits. And rather than running to God like Hannah did, they continue to reject his help. And then they double down in their own stubborn pride, only exasperating the situation and prolonging their suffering. We must remember, godly sorrow leads to repentance. Turning away from our mess and turning toward God with a vow to change. Hannah cried out to God to the point where she was inaudible. She was so plugged into God that she didn't even recognize what she looked like from a human perspective. She was so in tune with the move of God in her life that she could have just put a do not disturb sign on her forehead. She wasn't there. She didn't know that her lips were even moving. Eli thought she was drunk. Here's a man of God in the temple and a woman praying. He thought she was drunk. She was probably so out of it, so in tune with God that she was just completely unaware of what she looked like. She was delivering her petitions to the throne room of God Almighty. God heard her prayer. God answered her prayer. It wasn't a very eloquent prayer, but it was passionate. It wasn't a great oratory speech, but it was heartfelt. Now, when we read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we have Hannah's prayer. And this prayer is quite a contrast to the prayer in chapter 1, is it not? Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. This is a lady who saw the hand of God come in and open her womb. She saw God's compassion come out of a broken and contrite heart, a heart that was full of sorrow, a life in despair and in shackles, who was tormented, who was ridiculed and accused, be delivered. And this is a woman now who is thanking God Almighty, for he showed up. My friend, and when you call out on God, he will show up. When you lean on God and not on your own understanding, he will guide you. He will make your path straight. When we look in verse 8, she says, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. Isn't that a visual? The beggar from the dunghill. That's what she felt like. She literally felt like dung. She felt useless. She felt left for naught. You know what a dunghill is? A pile of horse, cow, or camel, you know what, heaped up to dry in the sun and used as a fuel, was and is one of the common haunts of the poorest of societies. And the change that had been made in the social position of Hannah appeared to her grateful heart as auspicious and as great as the elevation of a poor, despised beggar to the highest and most dignified rank. God taking her from where she was, out of the miry pit, out of the dunghill, and putting her high. That is a seat of honor. And that's what he'll do for you as we trust in him. As we call out his name in the midst of our need, will you give him your life? Will you call on him right now? Maybe you're going through a very, very trying situation. You feel inadequate. You're not up for it. You can't do it. There's nothing you could do to fix or remedy your situation. Those are the best times to come to God. You see, every great victory looked at first like defeat. Read through Hebrews 11. That's like the Faith Hall of Fame. You'll see where God shows up. It at first looked impossible. And it is impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. Call on Jesus. Ask him into your heart. Seek him. Make him the Lord of your life. Follow him. That means you make him first in all areas of your life. Read the Word of God. Get involved in a local church. Trust him and watch what he does. He'll lead you out of the shackles, out of the jail cell, into a new life full of hope. What once was impossible for you is now possible. What once you couldn't do or imagine, you'll see that he'll take all those broken pieces and turn it into a glorious mosaic. You're his child. He loves you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. Call on Jesus right now. Pray a prayer like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm desperate for you. I need you so much in my life. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I need you.